Cozy Earth has become such a meaningful part of how we create peace in our home. After a full day of building businesses and raising babies, we need a soft place to land. For us, that's winding down in our bedroom, calm, quiet, and wrapped in Cozy Earth. Their bedding, towels, and pajamas are truly next level. Cozy Earth lives up to made-to-last standards, and everything is made from ultra-soft, breathable, and sustainable materials. And the quality truly is unreal. But more than that, their products actually make us slow down. They invite rest, and honestly, that's something we're learning to value more and more. It's also one of our favorite gifts to give each other. One of my sweetest memories was Jake actually surprising me on my birthday with a set of Cozy Earth pajamas, already washed, dried, and warm straight out of the dryer, waiting for me before bed. That's love, people, and that's Cozy Earth. To try them for yourself, head to cozyearth.com/Hannah Weidman, that's W-E-I-D-M-A-N-N, and you'll get 20% off your next purchase. Trust me, you're going to want to live in this stuff. Hey, beloved, I'm Hannah.
And I'm Jake. We're full-time artists and creative entrepreneurs. And we're convinced that the greatest work of art we'll ever create is our life together.
Join us as we build a marriage, family, faith, and work that's made to last. Hey guys, welcome back to Made to Last Podcast Season 3. This has kind of been a long season in the making. So we've had a baby since our last recording with Season 2, and we now have a six-month-old as of today on the floor beneath our feet as we record these
episodes. So if you hear some tiny baby coos, that is just the soundtrack of our lives these days. So if you can give grace or actually just, you know, enjoy the angelic sounds of a cooing baby in the background. Might turn to crying, but we love her nonetheless.
Yeah. We also want to remind you guys, as you listen, to rate and subscribe. Reviews help the podcast get into the hands of people who would be so encouraged by the message of our lives and the gospel, which is always the center of everything that we do. And Season 3, we're excited for this one because the episodes in nature are going to be maybe shorter than our past seasons. And we are talking about the stories behind the design. So that is the title for Season 3, Behind the Design. We're going to go through each episode is going to be kind of talking about the pieces that you see publicly that are very recognizable as ours, whether you follow us on Instagram, both on the jewelry side and the fine art side. And so we're going to give you a little glimpse behind not only the messages, but the context in which they were created.
Mm. Yeah, this is going to be a really fun one. It's this is a chance to sort of give you an inside look into the creative process, what was going through our thoughts before we created the design. This is often like this sort of the messy, unknown part of creating. We find it very fascinating. You know, it's like when we finally bring a product into the world, you know, it has to be beautifully polished and very concise and a nice tight story and explanation around it. But, you know, it doesn't begin that way. Mm-hmm. It's always something that feels a little bit ill-defined. And, so it takes a lot of work, but yeah, this is going to be a really fun series to dive into, to give you an inside look into what's going on inside of our creative brains. So,
buckle up. I mean, it can be a scary place. I'm scared. No, I'm kidding.
Exactly.
But part of the reason why we wanted to do it when we were brainstorming, like, what does Season 3 actually look like? We're, I guess, continually surprised at how many questions we continue to get about the meaning and the message of the work and how we're actually making this work. And so what a great place to just kind of create a resource for you to point back to again and again, because it's like, we do have it listed on our websites and we tell these stories in person time and time again. So I thought, I think it's time we record these and get the stories out again, because they are that important. So we're going to jump into two pieces that really complement each other well, and you'll kind of see that episode by episode. But we're starting out with the jewelry design, the Hallelujah Harp, and then on the fine art side, Be Thou My Vision, which both of them complement each other so well, both in the actual harp design. So Jake always does an amazing job of explaining his mind behind the design, but we get to do the jewelry pieces together, whereas Jake is really driving the fine art side. So it'll be fun to kind of hear the different mediums that he's choosing and why. So let's just jump right in to those two pieces.
Yeah, Be Thou My Vision. That one started off, you know, I always, as I've done the hymn series, I've always wanted to tell the backstory of how the hymn was created, give a little bit of the context of where that hymn came from. And when I was commissioned to do the piece, Be Thou My Vision, that one has such an amazing backstory. And it really comes from this deep Irish tradition. It was written by someone named Dallan Forgaill. And he was believed to be sort of a disciple of St. Patrick. He came into the faith by St. Patrick and became an evangelist alongside him. And so there's all this like beautiful, rich tradition that comes from Ireland and is imbued within that hymn and within the writing. And some more backstory that I found out in my research is here, Be Thou My Vision is one of the oldest hymns that we have ever sung or created. And it's still very much a part of like the Christian worship today. It's one of the most beloved hymns of all time. And so I wanted to really honor the history of it. And Dallan Forgaill was such a devout man, and he was actually writing this at a time when he was going blind. And it was believed that part of the reason why he was going blind is because he used to study scripture obsessively. And so he was reading it by very low light most of the time. And so how profound it was that here he writes this hymn, Be Thou My Vision, while his vision was failing. Mm-hmm. And so that was, it was such a really incredible hymn to do. But I wanted to tie back to the icon of Irish tradition. You know, there's really no better icon than the harp. And the harp is actually the national symbol of Ireland, which is why it is on their flag. It's why it's on, you know, Guinness's logo. it's an iconic part of their history, and it really speaks to their love for music that goes back for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. And one of the oldest instruments in existence is actually an Irish harp. And so I wanted to base the design around that and actually write the words of the hymn as if it were the strings of the harp. And it's written in uncial, which is an Irish or Celtic hand. You hear our baby in the background blowing bubbles. That's great. She's giving ongoing commentary to my explanation, I guess. So anyway, I wanted to tie that in. But then on the harp itself, I wanted to, you know, have even more Irish and Celtic tradition woven into it, some deeper symbolism. And so, of course, there is Celtic knotting that is, you know, looks like it's carved and painted into the harp. And then the Book of Kells, which is one of the greatest manuscripts that still exists, had this motif of symbolism that it drew from the vision of Ezekiel, and where it pictured, it showed like the Lord coming in and coming in four different forms, was the vision that came to Ezekiel. And so you have the image of the man, the image of the calf or the ox, the image of a lion, and the image of an eagle. And so in the Book of Kells, that motif was actually laid over the four Gospels, and each one of those icons are used in correlation with one of the Gospels. And so it's used in repeat through that manuscript. So I actually derived a lot of the different icons on the harp from the Book of Kells. Mm. And so so you have surrounding, you know, on this Irish harp, surrounding the words of the hymn, "Be Thou My Vision," the vision from Ezekiel of the manifestation of the Lord in all of his different modes of symbolism. So it was really powerful. And then, of course, you know, it was set to a tune that was actually a going into battle tune. And so I wanted to use the symbol of the shield and the sword, because that's written into the words of the hymn, you know, "Be thou my shield, my sword for the fight." Mm-hmm. And so you have an old Celtic shield in the background that's rusted and patinaed over time. And then you have a classic Celtic sword that has a key ring pommel, which is very true to Irish tradition. And so all of that frames out this beautiful hymn. And it became, you know, such a prayer for me, like entering into the composition of this piece, to really drudge all the deep history that this hymn had to offer and bring it up and give it a new coat of lacquer in the composition that I created. So it was a phenomenally like fun piece. It's one of our most popular prints to date. And it was really hard to let go of the original. People often ask, you know, is it hard to let go of originals when you finish them? And this one was. This was kind of hard to let go of. But it's in permanent installation at Cedarville University.
Along with the Old Ragged Cross and Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Mm-hmm. So the three are no longer with us. They're over, like Jake said, they're in Ohio. But Jake, going back to the sword and the shield, I mean, that really points to Ephesians 6, right? And that's this mm-hmm. beautiful idea of like Paul's letter to the Ephesians kind of informing so much of the composition here, but really speaks to like worship as warfare. You know, it is a battle for spiritual warfare. Can you talk to a little bit about that? And then also jumping to the Hallelujah harp, which is in so many ways the wearable version of, in my opinion, of this piece. Because we didn't plan to do the harp because you did Be Thou My Vision, but it was almost like a theme that became prevalent in our life and in our context. Like, what does it look like to have worship as a means of, you know, battle? It is a, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a,
yeah, armor. It is our battle cry. And I think that, and you know, it's kind of funny. Like I tend to think of, you know, especially during like such fraught times, it's hard to be an artist and you feel like art and beautiful things should only be created in times of peace. But that is not the case, and that has rarely been the case throughout history. Some of the greatest art pieces were born during the most tumultuous times. Mm-hmm. And even in the Old Testament, you know, it was like the Israelites were called to lead God's people into battle. Mm-hmm. And so you had the Levites that used their instruments to lead people into battle. And so that, you know, it's we like to sort of categorize, you know, the worship for these nice peaceful times, but that's not the case. In the spiritual battle that is always upon us, you know, it's very important that that worship is the battle cry of our hearts. Mm. And so I found that was really like wonderful to not explore for myself, but to reiterate. I mean, this is how the hymn was originally born. Yeah. And so so I think that is an important piece. And then Hannah, what you mentioned about, it just so happened that at this time, you know, creating a piece for Everyday Heirloom, you know, you sort of, kind of like a song gets stuck in your head, there's a certain motif that sort of rolls around in mine. And so I think like the idea of the harp was just immediately at hand. And I was like, man, it would be so cool to, you know, portray that in the form of a necklace. And I think a harp is such a beautiful sounding instrument. It's such a beautiful looking instrument. And so to turn it into a jewelry piece just seemed too obvious, too good to pass by.
I mean, for you, I mean, there's never been another piece that I've seen personally, and I don't think anyone else has either, this idea of the strings of the harp become the chains that really wrap around the neck of the wearer as this, you know, in when we were kind of incubating this and kind of sketching it out both verbally and literally, you know, the words that came out of your mouth was, I want to wrap the wearer in a song of hallelujah. What would that look like? So what an interesting challenge. I mean, you think to you it was obvious, but
well, yeah, and else. It wasn't immediately obvious. Like we didn't get there. Like, you know, I was trying to figure out how do I represent the strings of the harp really well in the piece, you know, because it's like you can only cast certain elements of the design so small, because if there are those tiny voids, you don't have the opportunity for the molten gold to run through them. And so, you know, I could only make the harp so small, and then trying to add strings to the harp, which are obviously its key feature, you know, that just, there wasn't a clear way through. Mm. And then there was like this aha moment, you know, in the same way that I used words as the strings mm-hmm. of the harp in Be Thou My Vision, I thought, what if I could actually use the chain as the strings of the harp in the jewelry piece? And that was my eureka moment. And, you know, I pushed our jewelry manufacturer to be able to like do that on repeat, which is very difficult to cut the chains the right size and choose the right kind of chain to pass into the harp and be connected. And it was a really fun challenge. And yeah, I was... Now the expression of the harp, rather than it just being this charm that hung down at the end of a chain, it became like in this musical way, sort of this song emanating from the strings themselves, wrap the wearer up in this song of hallelujah. And so the dynamism of the jewelry piece finally came into its own once I had sort of cracked the code on how to depict the strings of the harp.
I mean, I think we're constantly pushing the envelope as far as design goes, because nothing we've done is pretty straightforward. I mean, even, you know, we love who we work with on the jewelry side, but, you know, oftentimes the answer we're met with was like, we'll try and figure this out, because no one's ever done something quite like this. And I think that's how you know you're onto something, but it takes a pioneering spirit to be able to say like, this has never been done before. It's not like a typical jewelry piece, and really kind of pushing the envelope in that way. You talked about the harp, you know, being such a symbol of the Irish tradition, and that's very obvious. But the thing that we point to on the Everyday Heirloom side with the harp necklace is this idea that it's, you know, the harp has been long associated with King David of Israel. You know, he was a warrior poet who authored most of the Psalms. And so talk a little bit about that. I mean, we've talked about the harp being one of, you know, one of worship, and then using, you know, your Celtic inspiration for Be Thou My Vision. But then the deep, timeless roots that it takes in Scripture is really what even makes the Celtic harp something special.
Yeah, I think like there's obviously whenever we step into something that has that kind of history, especially biblical history, you find that there's just unbelievable layers to it, and I think that that's one of the most beautiful things about what I do in my artwork and using craft and upholding these sacred symbols is, you know, they become like the liturgical practice that is woven into my work. And so to reach back not only to the song of Dallin Forgale, but to reach back to the song of David is something that's really powerful. And I think it, you know, ties us together in this collective worship that acknowledges so great a cloud of witnesses that we are a part of, that are still praising God, you know, beyond that thin veil. But here we are, still earthbound, singing that same song and upholding those same symbols.
And I also think there's something to be said about, I mean, our work is so visual and it's so tangible. I mean, for someone who, you know, you and I would not consider ourselves musically talented, but there is something that is for everybody, even in the harp, right? It's not for someone who can sing a beautiful song, but everyone is called to sing a new song unto the Lord, right? It doesn't say if you're a really good singer.
Right. Absolutely. It says make a joyful noise. It doesn't say make one in tune, which thank God, you know, especially for my sake. But, you know, I think that that's, There is such a deep love for music that we all innately have. And there is something that just, nothing quickens the spirit like music.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, being able to celebrate it, though we are not musical, we are artistic. And so through a different medium, we can celebrate another.
Yeah. We want you guys to go and look at both of these pieces that really do complement each other, that it truly wasn't even planned. But we love when our work does that, both in the wearable artwork form and then, you know, on the fine art side, it just feels like kind of a happy accident, which there are no such things as accidents, right? Not when we're doing stuff like this. I can't even remember the date that you finished the hymn.
Oh, gosh.
What year was that?
That would have been 2022. Yep.
And then when did we do the harp?
It was right around that same time.
We will mention, though, too, along with the links in the show notes to both of these pieces so you can see them, we had mentioned in season two that we were able to work with Christy and Nathan Knuckles to create a version of Be Thou My Vision that we felt that was so accessible to this generation, but still honored very much the history of the hymn and how it was supposed to be, you know, intentionally sung. So we'll link that as well, because that is a beautiful project that we had the honor of working with them on. And they're just, I mean, you talk about someone who's musical. I mean, those guys, it's like fun to talk to them and work with them in that way. At Everyday Heirloom, we design timeless, meaningful jewelry to mark what's most sacred to you. Pieces that aren't just worn, but lived in. They're tangible reminders of your identity in Christ as beloved and promises close to your heart. Our jewelry is crafted to become part of your everyday, a new heirloom for generations. And from Jake's studio, Jake Weidman Art Prints are more than just decor. They're fine art pieces designed to bring reverence and beauty back into our homes. From calligraphy to sacred symbolism, each piece invites you to slow down and reflect, adorning not just your walls, but the atmosphere of your heart. Together, our mission is to uphold beauty where it matters most, in the sacred places of your home and life. Use code MTL20 at everydayheirloomco.com. That's everydayheirloomco.com and jakeweidman.com for 20% off your next purchase. That's code MTL20 at everydayheirloomco.com and jakeweidman.com for 20% off your next purchase. Bring beauty home and carry it with you. We get so many questions around faith, family, and our work, and even in marriage. And so we thought it'd be really fun to start implementing kind of a mixed bag of questions at the end of every episode. So the first question we were asked, and we actually get this a lot. So someone on Instagram last week asked, what do your days practically look like with running a business and raising sweet kiddos? Do you have help? So every season has looked different for us. I mean, we don't know anything other than raising babies while we're building businesses. I mean, that's just how it's gone with us. We have an ongoing joke that's, you know, every time I'm pregnant, we also have a new business idea. So with every baby comes a new business, and that's just kind of been the trend. Every season, when I say it's looked different, I mean, when the kids were really little, you know, we were so blessed to be able to bring on someone who could, you know, for a couple hours during the day, come and be with us and with our kids to help us kind of be hands-on with them, because our first two are so close in age that it felt like almost twins. And that was a lot. That was a hard season in a lot of ways, because we had two babies and two businesses. And the way I always said it was, I felt like two little butters put over too much bread. There just was not enough to go around. And yeah, we had a gal, you know, a couple of young gals, you know, that came and went and formed really precious relationships with our kids. And now that looks different with the kids being school age, and I do homeschool. And so it makes sense when we do get the question of like, how are you doing this? Mm. You know, and practically speaking, I mean, I think a rule that governs our days is see a need, fill a need. Right? Mm-hmm. It's even printed in all caps on the fridge, because it's like, there's just no job too small or one that's underneath us that Jake and I aren't willing to do. Like, you know, it's like, what if someone sees that the garbage needs taking out, we do it. You know, like, that's just kind of how our household runs. And so, you know, another practical level is like, we're just really organized. I mean, I don't know how you can't be and run businesses and have, yeah, you know, a lot of kids. I mean, you have to plan your days and make the most of your time, right? I mean, we plan your commission work. And right. So you kind of know what your days look like to some degree, even though they can change and you have to be flexible. But there is a certain respect for the rigidity of our schedule. Like, on these days, we do this.
Right. And it's not always pretty looking, and it's never, you know, neat all the time, but we've just learned to have grace for one another. I think that's a big thing, and grace for our kids. There's a different kind of patience that we extend towards each other and to our children when they share that space. And it's an understanding of like, this is the time that we're in. Mm-hmm. And I think so much of dissatisfaction and frustration comes from having unrealistic expectations. So just keeping our expectations in check as to, you know, what this actually looks like really helps keep us from a lot of consternation.
Mm. Next question, kind of going in that same vein of family, someone asked, general advice for child raising, homeschool, activities, etc. Yeah, that's really interesting. Again, I do mention like we homeschool and we have businesses and work from home. There's a lot happening in a small space, right?
Yeah.
but general advice for child raising, I mean, 1,000% homeschool if you can homeschool. I mean,
yeah, this question is like a podcast episode on its own. I mean, I think it's a podcast on its own. But yeah, generally, I think so much of the values that are instilled within our kids are caught more than taught. Mm-hmm. And it's so much in the way that we posture ourselves before the Lord and towards each other and in our work. And, you know, the kids see all of that. They are just little sponges. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important in that way to be very cognizant of what you're doing. You know, your kids in their observation become almost like a good level of accountability to you. And we always say that they are canaries in the coal mine. And you can see as their behavior changes, when something isn't quite right in our home, and then we need to go back to the basics. We need to sow into the health of our family and the fragrance of our home in order that they might thrive.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, the easiest way I could put it, the simplest way, is like, love God, put a lot of work into your marriage, and then pour out onto your kids from the overflow of your healthy marriage. And I think that so much structures our life and the rhythm of our life. And as far as like inviting kids into your work, I mean, because this question touched on like, what do you do? Like activities, you know, I wouldn't say that we entertain our kids. You know, like there's a lot of, I see a lot of like influencer moms like, here's activities for your kids. And part of me is like, you know, they kind of just do what we do. I mean, there's so much. And we jokingly say that we're raising our future employees. I mean, that's not true. But there's a part of us that's like, we hope that they love our work to an extent where like they're so up close to it and they know it and they love it. And you know, whether they know it or not, they actually help us now. They're one, they're our greatest inspiration in a lot of ways outside of, you know, or I guess I should say like, you know, God uses them so much in our day-to-day work, but also in our relationship. So.
So there is episode one of now season three of the Made to Last podcast, looking at behind the design. So thank you so much for your time, for joining us and getting to look behind the curtain at what we do and what we create.
We'll see you guys next time. Love you.